Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. The ORC has put out a framework for racing in Ontario that's intended to help make the sport more attractive, more in demand, and visible to a brand new generation of potential fans. There are a number of proposals being put forward, and like anything else, they have their share of supporters and detractors. We'll talk to the chairman of the ORC about that very issue, Mr. Rod Sealing, on this edition of Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. Before we get started, the standard disclaimer that the opinions expressed, in particular those of the host, do not necessarily reflect the views of Rideau-Carlton Raceway. Mr. Sealing, welcome.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Your framework contains some basic principles, and I wanted to go over them briefly, some of them anyway. One is to enhance live racing, which we're all for, of course, and to benefit the agricultural sector in Ontario. What is being proposed specifically to that end?
Well, the new framework, for those who have read it, hopefully everybody will take the time to go on our website and take a look at it, is that it's a recommitment to live racing. Also, there will be accountability measures working in conjunction with the Interior Lottery Corporation, and there will be reinvestment in that area to help benefit live racing. So we think there are a number of factors that that will demonstrate the fact that the program is for live racing, and that we want to ensure that live racing continues to be successful in Ontario and continues to grow, and that people in this business have a future, and it will be a good future.
I think what we want to focus on, though, is you know, specifics to that end. For example, and this may set off some alarm bells, almost a centralized management of the sport, where a central body says you can race these many days or these many days in order to keep a balance between supply and demand, which is pointed out in the framework. How do you propose going through that specifically?
Well, as you will be aware, and I think a lot of your listeners will be as well, we've had John Blakeney and his team have had an ongoing consultation process for 9+ months. Just because the framework was adopted by the board and a recommendation, I should say, that it was supported by all the tracks and all the horse people who met with us last week. That consultation process is not ending. In fact, the work is only starting. So to say that we have all answers here, no, we don't, nor do we intend to. The plan has always been that we want the people involved, their business, we want them involved to help us make those decisions.
So nothing really in terms of here's A, B, C, this is how we're going to do it.
No, and when we've been very careful to make sure, if you want to call it a disclaimer all the way along, that there is a lot of work to do in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. I think that there are three or four things that we need to get in place for 2011. We want to see the hierarchy of both racetracks and horses almost going back to what the business used to be, pre-slots.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, certainly. If you look before the racetrack and slots program was implemented here in Ontario, we had a hierarchy for both racetracks and horses. Most horses started their career out at, if you want to call them, the
B tracks.
The B tracks, or community tracks, as we're now calling them, and worked their way up to the top. Also, those same horses could work their way back down. Mm-hmm. With the introduction of the slot program, that has not happened to the degree it should. In fact, because one of the things that this framework is built on is it's customer-focused. It's not supply-focused. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to see is we need to see competitive racing wherever, whatever track you have across the province. And that means that horses in a given race, the public needs to know and see that those horses are competitive. And I certainly don't blame horse owners or trainers for dropping the way things are right now, dropping into to certain classes and just, you know, outclassing the field where we've got 1-9 shots. That doesn't make for competitive racing, and certainly doesn't attract customers to the business.
Well, yeah, because it's one of those situations where you've got a favorite, as you said, at 1-9. You can't bet against them. If you bet on them, it's not worth it. So are you proposing then, could we see by next year, sort of like a relegation and promotion type of system that exists, say, in European soccer?
Well, it won't be a relegation system. What we're proposing in the framework, there will be a standard province-wide condition sheet. And so that by doing that, there will be a control over where horses race. It will also help to get horses race. For example, I can give you two examples that are very recent here in the province. One just a couple of weeks ago, three tracks at the same time wrote a $10,000 claimer.
Mm-hmm.
Two horses went into one, three in another, four in another, five. Not one horse got raced that week.
That's
because
interesting.
And earlier on, we had Mohawk Woodbine Entertainment write a class for upper condition trotters.
Mm-hmm.
We had another track decide to rate that same class for that same day. Instead of Mohawk getting a full field, they got seven horses, bet $70,000 or $80,000, where the handle should have been somewhere between 100 and 150. That other track got six, seven horses and bet $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good thing for the business.
No, it isn't. You're right. And I think you have a fair point to that end, certainly. Will there be some leeway for race secretaries? For example, here at Rito, obviously we have what I think are some exceptional circumstances due to the flood of horses that came in from Quebec in terms of allowing our racing office to write classes that may not exactly be within the centralized framework.
Well, I to be worked out. I'm not saying that it's airtight and nothing will happen. But I must say that Rideau isn't the only track to experience an influx of Quebec horses. I spend a lot of time in paddocks. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of French-speaking people mm-hmm. in the paddocks these days, whichever track you go to, mm-hmm. especially in central Ontario. So I certainly understand the issues that, and so does the administration. Again, those are details to be worked out through the mm-hmm. ongoing consultation.
Yeah, you want to see this happen by 2011. You mentioned a couple of other issues. What would they be?
Well, there'll be some purse, along with the standardized condition sheets, there'll be some purse pooling, because we will have excess purse money at certain racetracks.
I need to go to this point because I can tell you that a lot of horsemen's organizations are going to be quite concerned about that.
I have to tell you that that's not correct. We had all the horsemen's organizations meet with the board here last Thursday. All of the various points of the framework were before them. All of them supported the standardized condition sheet. They supported everything in the framework, which included the standardized condition sheet and the purse pooling.
Okay, well, that's interesting. My sources tell me otherwise. But, you know, in a case like Rideau's with purse pooling, we have a pair of preferreds every Sunday, Trot and Pace, $14,000. If Rideau doesn't meet certain criterion, they may have to have that purse reduced.
Well, I these are details we worked out with the industry. I'm not going to get into the exact details of what that standardized condition sheet will look like, because there is more work to do with all the race secretaries and the racetracks and the horse people.
Okay, but there is going to be purse pooling, best as you can see.
Yes, that's the intent.
Okay.
Otherwise, we have no ability to move those horses to be competitive where they are.
Okay.
If without the standardized condition sheet, without the purse pooling,
mm-hmm.
then the whole customer focus aspect of this framework comes crashing down.
And you know, in fairness to what you're saying, I can see your point, and I'll give you an example, and I won't mention names, but there are tracks that hold a number of these, for example, two-year-old trotting and pacing series, you know, for purses in the neighborhood of $6,600 that should be really nothing more than a baby race to be held before the actual card gets underway. So you're right. I think to that end, there's some validity in the idea of standardized purses. But, you know, that's something you'll have to work out with the horsemen, I'm sure. What else are I think there's about two other things that you want to see implemented by 2011, and what are they?
Well, we're going to – those are the things that have to happen as soon as possible. There are a number of other things that we would like to do over time. We're working with the Ontario Lottery Corporation in terms of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
The industry is already aware of that. They've been notified through the OLG. They already in terms of that, so we're working out the, we'll be working out the details of that, of how that goes. And again, that goes to support a reaffirmation, if you want, that the Racetrack and Slots program is to support live racing. We also want to take a look at race times and simulcast times.
Mm-hmm.
We want to ensure that there's better coordination there, and see how we can better support the Ontario product. Also look at, we believe there will be some excess purse money there. That
who would that go to, WEG?
No.
Okay.
There's no intention to, through the purse pooling, to flow money to WEG.
Okay.
It's to other tracks in the province to help support their racing.
Okay.
Also to, there could be, and hopefully will be, sufficient funds available to support the breeders, and how that would happen, yet to be decided, but it could be a bonus program,
mm-hmm.
Again, to be worked out in the future. But one of the things we need to ensure is that we have an adequate supply of horses into the future. My undying fear through all this is that we'll hit the jackpot in getting the framework and putting racing on a sounder basis, and find out that we don't have an adequate horse supply to fill the race dates we have in the province.
I'm not sure that it's a question of supply as much as it is a question of quality.
Well, hopefully, I think I spent a day at the Standardbred Canada sale over the weekend, and the Saturday session was down. There was a lot of people, I'm told, sitting on their hands. They didn't sit on their hands on Sunday. They were bidding with both, and the sale was up on Sunday. So, again, it's quality, and breeders, I think, are getting to understand that they need strong maternal lines to sell a horse in the province, and I fully understand. I did breed the odd horse back in many years ago, so I have a bit of an understanding of the breeding business. And I think that one of the things that we can say is that with the maturation of the racing product in this province, also is coming an understanding that if you want to be a commercial breeder, you better have strong maternal lines, or the customer simply is very uninterested in your product, no matter how good it may look.
Everybody looks up the tail line. Next step is what?
The next step, the director, John Blakeney, I think, has already scheduled meetings for the industry to get back at work to start to figure out the details. Everyone knows the devil's in the details, to quote an old phrase.
Mm.
But tracks, I don't want to put words in the director's mouth, but he was asked, tracks do have to start applying for the race dates. Obviously, the moratorium has ended. We believe that there's enough information available now that we can start to work on with this new framework that will help us in the process of allocating race dates. We also know that whatever we do, be it for racetracks or for horse people, there'll be required phase-in periods, because people have to adapt their business plans. I certainly wouldn't want to predict where we will end up with race dates over the short term or the longer term. I think it's a process of one that we'll all have to work together to better understand what our market is and how best do we fill that market.
We'll be watching this with great interest, obviously.
The one thing that I do want to leave your listeners with, though, is that I firmly believe that racing has a good future. It's a niche product, but it can be a strong, healthy niche product.
I couldn't agree more. We're all hoping. Mr. Rod Sealing, Chairman of the ORC, thanks for being on Trot Radio.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.